For more information on this topic or on the subject of disciple making in general, look us up online at browntogreen.org or send us an email directly at podcast@browntogreen.org. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to The Great Awakening, a disciple making podcast brought to you by Brown to Green on the Stream Grace Network.
Hi, guys. Welcome, and thanks for joining us again for another podcast. This is Lauren, your host, and Lori is missing today. She's not here. She is in Arizona this week with her husband and another couple at a really fun conference there. So in studio, it's just me, and I have Mercy Corey with me. Why did I say your name like that?
It's a common mistake.
It is. But we have Mercy in here with us today. And welcome, Mercy.
Thanks, Lauren. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad that you were able to come. It was kind of a last minute thing when Lori was like, hey, I'm not going to be there. I'm like, oh, she usually, I probably should step up my game on podcast because she's like the coordinator and I'm usually just tagging along, which we learned early on, like stepping into podcast this afternoon. Lori does the intro, as you all know. So I had to get some briefing and training on that before we came on. But so Mercy, one of the things I love to do just every now and then is to ask our guest something unique about yourself.
Ooh, yes, I think I've heard you do this on previous episodes. Oh man, I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is that I'm Canadian. Yeah. I feel like in Oklahoma, that's unique.
It is, you know.
In other parts of the world, maybe not so much. But in Oklahoma, I feel like being Canadian is a pretty unique thing. I met my husband when I was in New Zealand. That's pretty unique.
Mm-hmm.
He's the reason I'm in Oklahoma.
So I actually want to hear that story, if you don't mind sharing. So I would love to know a little bit about young Mercy, because you have an awesome story, and I love your story. And I think a lot, not just young people, but a lot of people can relate to your story and how you fell in love with the Lord before you fell in love with your husband and all that fun stuff. So you want to, we can just start there, I guess.
Sure.
Just tell us about how you met Aaron.
Yeah, so when I graduated high school, instead of taking the traditional college route, I decided to go and do something called DTS. It stands for Discipleship Training School, and that was through Youth with a Mission. It's an international organization that just, their heart is to train and equip young people specifically to minister to the ends of the earth, pretty much, like Matthew 28, you know, go therefore and make disciples. And I have relatives who've been involved before, and so that's what I did. I went over and I partnered with a base in New Zealand, and that's how I met Aaron. But pretty much I was there for, I did like my discipleship training school, and then from there I went back and I staffed for a year, so I helped partner with like leading other people who came to do the discipleship training schools. And that's when I met Aaron. He came on the last school that I helped staff. So I was a leader. As he likes to tell the story, I was the leader.
I was going to go there. So I'm glad you did, because that's the funny part of the story.
Yeah. I was a leader and he was a student. So, but right away, we hit it off really well. We just, you know, we got along really well. We became really good friends. And obviously I thought he was cute, you know, like I'm a 20-year-old girl who's single, you know, I'm like, oh, this American boy with curly hair and likes to surf. It was very alluring, right? And he loves Jesus, you know, which
major perk, that was, like number one.
Yeah. And so, you want me to go into like all the detail, like pretty much what the Lord spoke?
Okay. Yeah, I love your guys' story. And I feel like it kind of plays into your journey together and where you are now. Like this is the very beginning of Aaron and Mercy.
The foundation.
Like,
So, I mean, by the time Aaron and all of his charm came along, like I had been in this like young people's Christian organization long enough to be like, okay, like when a boy loves Jesus, that's attractive, you know? And so there was a part of me that was just like, okay, another, like young boy, not young, but he was probably like 19 at the time, loves Jesus, like don't start swooning too fast, you know? Like, but so I really was like guarding my, like actively guarding my heart, being like, Jesus, if this is not for me, like very dramatic mercy, you know, like, I was like, Jesus, if this is not from you, like, I don't want a relationship. Yeah. That's like very fervent in my like surrendering of something that didn't even exist yet. Like there's no relationship to surrender. But I remember doing that pretty actively and pretty much just being like, you know, if I leave this season in New Zealand and I am not dating anyone, like I want to do whatever the Lord has for me. So if that's what he has for me, awesome. But that's not what he had for me. So the one day I was out and just like spending some time, there was a chapel on the property. And I remember sitting there and just asking the Lord to speak to me, like whatever he wanted. And I just felt like, I mean, I felt like he, I don't know, I'm trying to think of like all the details now. So I guess I was like, Lord, what should I write down in my journal? Like, what do you want to speak identity into me? Like, I'm sure it's going to be good. You're going to like pierce my heart. And I just remember thinking in the back of my mind, this is like so self-revealing, like young Mercy, but being like, oh, right, Aaron and Mercy. And like, you know, one of those iconic, like Aaron plus Mercy equals love. And I was like, oh my goodness, Mercy, like you cannot write that down. There's other people in this chapel. You've surrendered that, like that. But then it was weird because I was like, all right, Lord, just like, tell me what verse to flip to. And I remember just thinking like, I'm going to turn, like, I don't know if it was, I think it was Jesus. Uh-huh. But I remember thinking like Psalm 118, specifically verse 3. So I like flipped to Psalm 18, specifically verse 3. And I was like, oh, it's going to be probably like trust in the Lord, or, you know, something like really good foundational. And it said, let the house of Aaron say his love endures forever. And I was like, oh. There was other people in the chapel. And I remember like looking up and being like, what just happened? Okay, whatever. Like, that's a fluke. And then I remember being like, okay, Lord, like, just tell me a different verse. Like, just a different one. And then it was, like, one in Exodus, and I flipped to it, and it said Aaron, too. And I was just, like, weirded out. Yeah. I was like, Lord,
that's so funny.
I know you can speak this way, but, like,
maybe not so obvious.
Maybe that's a different Aaron. Is this a metaphor, you know? But I guess from there, like, I just continue to just surrender to the Lord's time and be like, Lord, like, one, like you reserve the right to speak in a way that I don't understand. So if I'm not understanding you correctly, like help me keep this something that's like I'm holding with hands wide open, something that I'm not entitled to, like, oh, you owe this to me. You said this. So now, you know. Mm-hmm. And so there was a couple months where I just like actively just prayed and surrendered it to the Lord. And Aaron and I continued as friends and I did not say a word to him. And I honestly just spent a lot of time analyzing his character too, like counting the cost. Like, do I want to be with that guy? Like, you know, like he's cool, but you know.
So at this time of you like kind of watching and observing him, did he know that there might be like, was he feeling the chemistry too?
Oh, I think on his end, like, totally for sure. Oblivious? Oh no, I think he was interested in me, but they have policies in place for like students and staff.
So he's respectful to that, which is great. Yeah. I would expect nothing less from him.
And so then at the end of the 5 months, he pretty much was like, hey, like I'm interested in you, but I don't know what it's going to look like. Like you're Canadian, I'm American. We're going to two different places, but we just stayed in contact and continued to kind of surrender whatever it was going to become. And then, you know, I think it was 2 years later we got married. Roughly a year and a half, but and so I moved to Oklahoma and it's been so good.
We've loved having you, so I mean Aaron, all Aaron aside, I'm really glad at least he brought you to all of us,
right?
No, I love Aaron too a whole lot. You guys are pretty awesome. Okay, so you move here. Mm-hmm. I do remember seeing you guys at church, but not like we hadn't met yet. So when you came, was Chris already there? Had discipleship already been rolling?
Yep. So I think like Harris started shifting gears towards discipleship in, I think it was March of 2017.
I bet you're right.
So because Aaron and I got married April of 2017.
Okay.
And so I think it was kind of simultaneous that those two things happened. So by the time we started going to Harris Church, which Aaron has history with Harris Church, mm-hmm. His family went there for a while, years ago. And yeah, anyways, I don't know if you have a question. I'm kind of just going on a tangent.
No, that's good. Keep going.
Okay, well, we ended up back at Harrah Church, like last place Aaron thought we would go. But we were looking for a church, and the Murrays, mm-hmm. I had met them before, and Aaron was like, Dustin Murray's huge in my life. Like, him and Josh both were like, let's have them over for dinner. And I think Dustin and Jenny took that as like, all right, let's pitch this to them. Like, yeah, we want them to be involved in this like disciple making stuff. And so they laid it all on the table for us. They're like, we'd love for you to come and hang out in youth with us. Come kind of dip your toes in the water of what's happening at Hera Church. We think it's significant. And we were like, okay, yeah, we'll pray about it, you know? And we went to Hera Church and we have just kept going. And that's where, yeah, that's where our spiritual family is for, I mean, for always, but that's where we're still hanging out in this season until the Lord asks us to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Mercy and I actually got to walk together, yes, in our discipleship group.
Yeah.
So why don't we talk about that? Like, yeah, your journey being discipled,
totally,
and then how that flows over to discipling.
Yeah, for sure. So the cool thing about how we ended up at Hera Church and just kind of in the community of making disciples and whatnot is that ever since Aaron and I wrapped up our season with Youth with a Mission and finished our discipleship training schools, we had really been just petitioning and asking the Lord, like, show us what this looks like bridge the gap for us. Like, we kind of live in this more closed style community within Youth with a Mission, and it's good and it's significant and, you know, the Lord moves, but now that we're just kind of living ordinary life, like, bridge the gap for us, Jesus. Show us what it looks like to continue to walk out the Great Commission, even when we're working like a 9-to-5, mm-hmm, even when we're, you know, not quote unquote on the mission field or whatever. And so that I think when we showed up at Hera Church and Dustin and Jenny Murray kind of talked to us about the stuff that was happening, we were like, oh my goodness, like, this could be an answer to what we've been praying for. And so I met Priscilla Glenn, mm-hmm, the woman who discipled Lauren and I, shortly after going to Hera Church, and she just invested in relationship with me, and then I think she started up her group, I think the next year, February 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess, and she was also in youth. I was at,
yep,
and so I was able to kind of connect with her on Sunday nights, and she invested in me and taught me how to, you know, dive into the word and look at, not just kind of like take it for face value. But she, I give Priscilla a lot of credit for reigniting my love of the word,
because, yeah,
it, yeah, I think that was one of the most significant things that happened early on, was just like getting discipled and then being like, oh, the word is so significant. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew this on some level, but
deeper understanding of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, then we started walking together. It was so good.
Yeah.
So good.
It was a fun time. And then, I mean, obviously it was so fun to branch out and start our own groups, but it's always that bittersweet, yeah, moment where you're like,
we had a good, I mean, not sure, I don't want to say like we had a good group, because we did,
we
but
did,
you know, like, not to compare, but ours was pretty dang good.
Pretty awesome. Yeah. It was hard to leave. So, but it, I don't know. I still love like the friendships that were, yeah, formed there. And I don't, yeah, know. I do. It's fun getting back together. Yeah. It's kind of like we pick up where we left off.
Well, and that's just like a little side note. Like, that's something that's been so sweet about disciple making just in day-to-day life, is like in YWAM at the end, or sorry, YWAM stands for Youth with a Mission, but like at the end of a discipleship training school, everyone goes back to their home country, yeah, for the most part, you know? And so it's like it's almost more bitter than sweet.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, like,
you mourn those friends.
It's, yeah, sweet because I completed this, but now I don't know when I'm going to see you next. Like, yeah, it could be years. But within just like disciple making through ordinary life, just organically, it's like when that finishes, like, we still see each other, mm-hmm, you know? And it's, yep, like such a gift. Like, oh, Lord, this is good. Like, yeah, it's sad that it's over, but man, I still get to see these people.
Yep. That's great.
Yeah.
I love it. So you just released your first group, huh?
I did.
So you're one of our younger, which, I mean, you're not like, I know you're not baby, but you're not one anymore. You were the baby of our group anyway.
Well, back then I was definitely a baby. Yeah. I think I was like 21, 22.
We were a lot younger back then. Mercy.
You're forever that age for me, Lauren.
I know. Well, when I look at you, that's what I see too. And I'm like, that's not true. She's had birthdays since then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to remember that. But you had a pretty solid group of women.
They were so awesome.
Let's hear about that. Like, what was it like for you to disciple? And what were the, like, what would you think is the hardest part about it and the sweetest part about it?
It was a whirlwind.
Yeah.
Yeah, because COVID hit, like, you know, part of the way through. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that brought with its own unique struggles and whatnot for each person. Probably, I think the hardest part is just navigating control and navigating just like, I think for me, a temptation that I've had like often through my life is to just step into that role of savior for people. And it's almost just, you know, it's like, I think it's partially, it can be a pride thing and a control thing. And just at the end of the day, really not trusting that Jesus is adequate, you know. And there's a lot of scenarios over the last few years where I'm like, I have to trust that Jesus is enough because I already know I'm not, you know, I can't fix that. So that was really hard, but also so freeing. Like, I feel like just getting to this point where I'm like, oh my goodness, this is their story.
Yeah.
And I get to play in it. And, you know, there is a role for me, but ultimately, like, it's it's freedom for me that what Jesus asks me to do is invest and show up. And I feel like I play a pretty minor role because so much of it is their choice.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's freeing. And it's all the sweeter when things actually do shift and change because I know that I didn't orchestrate it.
Right.
You know, like, oh, they didn't feel pressure for me to make that decision. Yeah. That was them and Jesus.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
That's so, the sweet stuff.
Yeah, that was, I think that was a hard part for me, just getting to that point of being like, oh, I don't need to, you know, obviously I want to mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice, but I don't need to carry this like almost just this heavy weight of dread of like what could go wrong in their lives if, you know, if they don't surrender XYZ to Jesus or, you know, they're like, I get to be free and know that, like I will be okay either way. And, you know, having like people walk away and, which was, you know, that's so hard. And, and there's a level of like heartbreak that comes with that. But just seeing how Jesus was still faithful and being like, oh, almost like the worst case scenario happened, but like we were still okay. And Jesus still showed up and like, it's still good. You know, it didn't make it not worth it.
Right.
So that was huge freedom. And then the sweet parts were definitely just like reaching the last, like the last semester or two, because I think we walked together for 5 semesters. We were like 2.5 years, I think. And the last semester or two were just so sweet, where it was like the Lord really answered the prayer to knit our hearts together, you know, and to just see how everyone shows up for each other, how it's not just, I mean, really for the last couple of months it wasn't me, like I didn't do anything, I made dinner, you know, that was it, and they showed up and they taught, and that was really sweet. It was super sweet.
That's awesome.
Reflect on the pillars that Jesus did in everyone's lives and being like, oh, he brought us together.
It's been fun to watch too, and I didn't realize it had been that long. I don't know, because it wasn't my group, so I'm watching from the outside in. It seems like it flew by, but I mean, it probably did fly by to some extent. But
so it was so good. So that's good.
Awesome. I love it. And now they're all released and moving on.
Yeah, we'll see what kind of flows. It's really unique walking with, because I was the oldest, and I'm currently 26. So that means when we started, I think I was 24.
Which is funny because you were the youngest with us, and then you were the oldest there.
So, and I think the age range, the youngest when we started was 17, and then I was the oldest at 24. And so they were young women, you know, like I still consider myself a young woman at 26, you know? And so I'm like, those were like, we were all young.
Babies,
And so this just brings with like unique dynamics because they're still establishing themselves, you know, they like, they don't necessarily have houses or, you know, so it's just really cool to see how the Lord is answering their prayers of like, Lord, what does it look like for me to disciple in this season?
Yeah.
You know, and it looks different than what it has for most of the people who I see at Herod Church.
Yeah.
But it's because they're younger than most of the people, you know? And so it's cool. It's really a thing of hope.
And they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, like
so good.
That generation is pretty adaptable and I just kind of pick up and go. It's good.
So good.
Yeah. Oh, I do this every time. On this podcast, one time I hung up on somebody, but my alarms are going. It's spring break. And I did not turn my alarms off to go get kids. So that was it was this Thursday. So normally Oliver's in tutoring. So that was my alarm to go pick Oliver up from tutoring. That's awesome. So what has the Lord been teaching you lately?
Oh man. Well, so for the last 5 years, I have been working as a nanny. I love being a nanny. And my husband's been in school for most of that time. And so we really feel like for the last few years, the constant word of the Lord to us has been, I honestly, he spoke it to us so long ago that I can't even remember like where in the word it's from, mm-hmm. but it's just this phrase. I think it's from 1 Peter, but, to patiently remain behind. You know, a lot of people our age are having kids or buying houses or getting puppies, you know, and traveling the world, just doing like, you know, or starting careers. And, we felt like the Lord was really like, I want you to patiently remain behind. Like, don't seek after these like milestone markers. Just stay where you are and be content. But I feel like in this season, like the Lord is slowly releasing us from that. And so like the Lord's been speaking to me a lot through Isaiah 43, where he says like, behold, I am doing a new thing.
Aww.
And now it springs forth. Don't you perceive it, you know? And just starting to really be like, oh, like the season's coming to an end. Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of like the broad thing that he's been speaking to me.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and then I've really been just trying to grow in my intercession. I feel like my prayer life kind of suffered during COVID. I had like so much stress.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, just you had started school too.
Yeah.
During COVID, right?
Yeah, I started school during COVID, yeah. And work was really hard for me during COVID. Really a lot of hard asks of me at work in terms of navigating life in a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I just feel like here I am. I obviously just totally forgot what I was saying. I was gonna try and redeem that, but I was saying COVID and work.
I cut you off because I got excited that you started school through all that too.
Oh, yeah.
But he's releasing you guys from this season.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I was kind of going, I think. It's like slowly it's okay. My brain's also tired. Oh, prayer.
That is what you were saying. Yeah. See, I forgot too.
So there was so much going on that I just feel like that area of my life suffered, and to pray something beyond like, Lord, be with so-and-so today. Like it didn't happen, you know? And so in the season, and I just have been trying to really actively like dedicate 20 minutes a day just while I'm walking to just intercede and like, to actually take notes from what Jesus says when he says, like, when you pray, this is how you should pray,
yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
And go through the Lord's Prayer and really just not just pray that over myself, but over other people. Mm-hmm. And that's been super sweet. Like, the Lord has really been showing up in that area. And, you know, who knew when you pray, you get to also experience Lord answering prayers.
Uh-huh.
So that's been cool, too, just seeing, like, little prayers I pray that, you know, then someone in my life will be like, oh, this happened. And, like, Jesus, I prayed for that for them.
I love
that. Yeah, it's been really good, and just really cultivating intimacy with the Lord and bringing him, you know, I'm really busy because, yeah. You know, I'm paying the bills. I'm a sugar mama right now. So
that's how I feel, Mercy. Right. I'm married to, Michael's that pastor salary, you know.
Yeah, I'm just a busy woman. And so I feel like I've been trying to actively, apart from sitting with the Lord in the mornings, be like bringing him through my day. And that's
awesome.
A huge, just, I mean, it's definitely taken a lot of intentionality.
Yeah.
But it's been so good and so rewarding. And that's kind of been something that I've been learning for the last few weeks.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's been a topic of conversation in my D group is the unbroken fellowship.
Yeah, so
and
good.
What does that look like? And what's super cool is the women that are in my living room on Monday mm-hmm. nights, only one goes to Hera. And so they didn't have the understanding of season of rest like we do.
Yeah.
So they were like, well, what are we supposed to do on season of rest? What, you know, like,
yeah.
What do we do? This is weird. Mm-hmm. But what was super sweet about it when they came back, they learned that the Lord revealed to them what it looked like to have that unbroken fellowship.
So good.
So I'm like, man, and that's something, talk about prayers being answered. That's something I had been praying, like, Lord, let them experience like so much through you during this season that they don't quite understand, but help them understand and show them the beauty of it. And we came back. We came back from group mm-hmm. and it was so much sweeter than when we left.
That's so
there's
good.
Just getting that understanding. Yeah. And
well, if you don't, I feel like if you don't start cultivating, if you don't take that intentionality to be like, I'm going to be intentional in prayer, it will never be natural.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I found myself just autopilot through my day. And, you know, my job is an awesome mission field. I invest in like two little kids, you know. It's a great opportunity to be Jesus, but I would just be on autopilot. Yep. And my instinct wasn't to speak truth or, I mean, not that I would speak lies, but
right,
you know.
Right.
I wasn't instinctually actively speaking truth because I wasn't cultivating that other places, you know. So it's been cool to see that kind of overflow. Be like, oh, as I've been intentional with the Lord here, it's more instinctual to be intentional with him in other moments in my day. So
yeah, that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, it's been really good.
So the Lord had, I'm going to share what the Lord's been teaching me.
Yeah, I'd love that.
We can bounce back to discipleship stuff, but we were on this topic and, in my group, so my last group was large and it
I remember that.
It was hard. And one of the things that I heard after the fact was, like, I don't know how much to share in my D group. Like, how OHV am I supposed to be? You know, like, I didn't see you struggle the way I'm struggling. And, of course, you know, you know, there were major struggles there. But it really opened my eyes to this next group and how I want to be. You're talking about intentionality, how I want to be intentional with them. And not that I didn't want to be intentional with the last group, but I'm also big on knowing my audience, I guess, and making sure that they're aware I can be a little bit of OHV, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not to say I wasn't, but I just, I wasn't to the extent that I guess I didn't model it as well, maybe. So I wanted to share that my group on Monday night, I got circled by my women on Monday night. Chris Michael's there because he's like, all four,
he's cheering them on.
So it was pretty awesome, but I mean for them, not for me. But it's pretty cool. Like I owe them a plan tonight. I've been digging through the scripture, but I have not done a very good, I got 72 hours because we're on spring break.
Extra time.
There's work and kids. So Whitney actually, she's like, you can have 72 hours, but but no more. I'm like, okay. And I'm coming up on my 72 hour mark. And they'll get me for confessing this, but I am not ready to share a plan yet. But So did you have that in your group where you're like, how OHV? There's kind of a funky line, like how much do I share, know my audience, like, you know, will this harm or hinder in any way? So it is kind of a funky, like, this isn't something I'd experienced before because, you know, like I would do my processing to the side, you know, but I don't know, that last comment from my other group, it really did open my eyes. Yeah. And I'm like, man, I think this group of women that we have, they're pretty phenomenal. And I, like, it just, it's easy to be OHV.
Totally.
And how sweet is it too when you're the one on Monday night being circled?
So good.
Yes.
That's so good. Right. And it allows an opportunity for the Jesus in them to be activated.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like,
and this is, that's the, walking people through the learning circle. We call it fighting for their freedom. That's something that a lot of us, I think, struggle with. Like, how do we do this effectively without breaking something, you know?
Totally.
I know that was for me, like, how do I do this? Like, how do I tune my ears and not damage anything around me, you know, where I want to help them get to the root, but I don't want to break things in the process. So it was really good practice for them too.
Oh, that's so good.
But I will share the scripture that I am studying in that is going to take me to my plan.
Please do.
And it's from Ephesians 4:1-3. And it says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So that is, I think that's going to be the main scripture. I'm still looking through some of them, but right now he's just teaching me what it, like, overall picture. Mm-hmm. He's teaching me what it looks like to walk upright and blameless before him. Mm. And we're like, it's so funny too, because there was all this stuff stirring around and inside of me that I didn't quite realize until it all came out. And I'm like, man, I am the kind of person, and this isn't what we're called necessarily to be like, but I like to live in the background and yes. go unnoticed and unseen, which is funny that I'm on podcast, but I'm like, who listens to our podcast? Who, you know, there are people, they'll come get me for that. But I'm like, they can't see my face, you know? Yeah. So it's like, I like to live in the background, and I like to make disciples quietly, and I like to live my life.
Lead your quiet life.
Yeah. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not what the Lord is calling me. He's calling me out of that right now. And it's been kind of hard to embrace that fact that like, he wants me out. And what the word of the Lord from that Michael gave me, I think it was in Exodus, but it's in Exodus 4:1, I do think, or maybe Exodus 3, I have 2 written down here, but it's talking about the burning bush with Moses and how, when the Lord tells him to throw a staff down and it turns into a snake, and mm-hmm. he's like, grab the snake by the tail. I'm like, okay, that's like, that's, yeah. And the world did not see Jesus upright and blameless. So it's not always going to be the case for us, you know? So it's an interesting season that he's pulling me into.
I'm curious.
Yeah, it's good stuff. But creating a plan for this, I'm like, man.
Yeah, what does it look like?
Yeah. So I think that's been my biggest struggle with it, like figuring out what this looks like to walk out. Like, how do I walk out what he's calling me to do? Totally. You know what I mean? Like, it's easier when it's like steps of something I can do. Well, and it still could be, I suppose, yeah. you know, but... yeah, the whole like humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love is huge. And then of course, unity and what that looks like all around. So it's been good stuff, but it was definitely a week of new things, like getting circled by my group. And then, yeah, my plan is due tonight and I haven't done it yet.
Maybe you can pray more.
Yeah, maybe I should. My plan should be make my plan. Be like, will you guys take this? Is this acceptable? Would I receive this? I don't know that will fly. Yeah, but pray more. Yeah, I mean, that's. I'm going to put that on my plan. Be like, here you go, guys. So, I don't know. It's good stuff, though.
That's awesome.
Always growing. Seriously. That's the beauty of walking with the Lord. Like, yeah. We're not supposed to just sit still and get comfortable mm-hmm. hiding in the background.
And when you have, like, I don't know how many women you have showing up every week now.
We have 4.
Plus mm-hmm. Whitney?
Plus Whitney, yeah.
Yeah, so when you have 5 women who love Jesus showing up in your house every week, who are iron ready to sharpen you, you know? It's like, oh, man.
It was good, yeah. And
let me be dull for a little bit.
What's so funny is, yes, you're, like, it's, the Lord gave us women that are attached to the vine mm-hmm. and they're progressing like speedily. Is that a word? Speedily? Quickly? Why did I say speedily? Rapidly. And so it is cool to know that, and they're holding me accountable. They're like, so I got called out in my group. Like, hey, where's your plan? How's your plan coming? I'm like, it's coming. Leave me alone. But I also knew how they felt. We're like, are we done yet? Are we finished with this? But yeah. it's good learning all the way around, I think. But yeah, having women who can sharpen.
That's so good. Yeah. So grateful for that. Good.
So grateful. Do you have plans for your next group?
Yes. Tentative plans.
Tentative.
Yeah. So I'm not really sure exactly what, I mean, I guess I have a start date. So So that's pretty big plans.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think right now I have 3 yeses, and I'm actually, for at least a season, we're going to kind of take it a semester at a time, but I'm going to be co-leading with Alexis Clay. And so she's going to ask a few women and I'll have a few women. So I think right now I have 3. Yeah. I think I have 3, and I have like a few people I really need to talk with, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of at that phase where I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to be starting up in 3 weeks. Kind of need to have some more conversations, but I don't know if it's just because it's my second group, but I feel a lot more lax about it this time. I'm like,
I can agree with you.
If
there.
They don't give me a yes until I've been going with these other women for a month, no big deal. Yeah. You know, I think I just feel a lot more chill about it. Like, oh, the Lord's timing is good.
I'll bring them.
All I can do is make myself available.
That's right.
Yeah, so we'll start up sometime in April, and I think we're going to do like a half semester, just do some relationship building. And that'll give Lexi and I some time to kind of find our groove. Mm-hmm. Like, what does it look like? I mean, I've never co-led.
I know. It's so fun though.
Thank the Lord that Lexi and I have led together before. And so I don't think it'll be a challenge for either of us, but just figuring out that dynamic of like, what does it look like for her to have her woman and me to have my woman? And, but I'm really excited because I think it's going to teach me a very different lesson in this mm-hmm. season than what I learned from leading the last group. Just really, because I'm the kind of person who, man, you put a task in front of me and if no one else is volunteering, I'll get it done.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not typically like the, oh, sure, I'll make it happen. But if no one else is gonna, I'll be like, but kind of begrudgingly, okay, I'll teach
I'll do this.
Yeah. And so just figuring out what does it look like, to co-lead, you know,
yeah.
what does it look like to not just, keep kind of plowing through, just doing my own thing, but really be able to submit it to a team. Cause Lexi and I are going to be a team and mm-hmm. we're going to lead as equals. And yeah, I'm really excited. Cause I think that I'm going to learn a lot in that season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see. Well, I have no idea.
We'll have to have you back on later so you can be like,
yeah.
this is how it's going. Because I'll want to have to update everybody.
Yeah, right?
It's fun. It is a different world co-leading.
Yeah.
But I love it. And
I think it'll be good. I mean, it's like,
I hope you really love it.
I think you've mentioned it before, but I mean, Jesus sends the disciples mm-hmm. out in twos, you know? So I think there will be something significant just in, you know, and even just within the whole thing of vulnerability, you know, how open, honest, and vulnerable do you be with your whole group? Mm-hmm. But when you have a co-leader, you automatically have someone that you yep. just can be completely open, honest, and vulnerable with.
I think that's my favorite part. Because, yeah. I mean, we have our husbands, which is great because they're both, you know, yeah. our husbands are phenomenal people.
Yeah.
But it's fun to have that yoke fellow in the
yes,
living room.
So good.
Who, like, that's how I got circled on Monday, though, so be careful.
I'll keep an eye out for because, Lexi. She's going to suggest that they circle me.
No, it's just they have a keen ear, you know, like they'll hear totally. Things differently than you hear them. And
yeah.
because you're wired differently. But it's so good, too, because they can offer a different perspective or, you know, read the room
totally.
Differently. And I don't know, like I see why Jesus sent them out in twos.
Yeah. I think it's going to be so good. I'm just, and it's cool too, because Lexi and I have very different stories, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think it'll be complimentary.
Yep.
Even though like we both sit with Jesus,
yes.
obviously.
Yeah.
And we both have like our own individual walks, but I think there'll be something really significant mm-hmm. about, you know, her story has elements of Jesus's redemption that mine doesn't. And my story has elements of Jesus's redemption that hers doesn't. And
yeah.
just, I think it'll be a pretty good tango, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be good. I'm excited to hear how it goes. But, all right. Well, do you have anything else you want to share? If any last mercy, mercy is a woman full of wisdom in case you guys didn't know. So any bit of wisdom and mercy that she would like to share?
Oh, you know, I'm pretty passionate about, people realizing that Jesus is the perfect husband.
Oh yeah,
so,
I know.
That's, like circling back to, yep. you know, my love story and whatnot. I think that like if I were to like leave you guys with any like hidden gems of like a revelation that has kind of changed the course of my life is that like Jesus is the perfect picture of what a husband is. And so I'm directing this more at like single women, but obviously married women too.
Yeah,
like this can apply
absolutely.
To and even men. You
yeah.
know? Be the bride
Absolutely.
Of Christ.
That's right.
But yeah, I think my wisdom would just be that, like, invest in your relationship with Jesus the way that you would want to invest in any other relationship, because, mm-hmm. like, he's the ultimate picture of what a husband is, what a friend is, mm-hmm. and there's so much freedom in that, you know? Yeah.
That's
good.
Good stuff. Yep.
If you want to hear more, come find me.
You track down
my name's
Mercy
Mercedes
Curry.
I have Facebook.
Not Corey. I don't know why I said that earlier. Like, what the heck was I thinking? It's Mercy Curry, in case you guys wondered. Yeah, track her down. Get her.
Yeah.
Get her.
Come find me.
Yeah, pick her brain. It's good stuff. There's good stuff in there.
I love to talk.
You mind praying us out?
I don't mind one bit.
Okay.
Lord, I just come before you, and I just thank you for this Brown to Green podcast. Like, Lord, I thank you for... Lori and Lauren and Travis and Michael and just the time and energy that they're spending just investing here and allowing people's stories to be shared and heard. And there's something so powerful about transformation and redemption and just about something so powerful about a simple story. So Lord, I just ask that you continue to bless them and keep them in this endeavor and continue to just direct their steps. Jesus, I thank you for our time. I ask that you continue to bless the listeners with the words and the stories that are shared. Jesus, I just thank you again for my sweet, dear friend, Lauren, and everything that you've done in our friendship and what she's been to me and all the ways she's sharpened me. I pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us, Mercy.
Thank you.
It's awesome to have you. All right, you guys, thanks for listening. Grace and peace.